This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This Wednesday, now afternoon, 888-808-1019, the number to call. BT, we got a bunch of calls on hold here about different topics. We haven't done that in a while. Usually we've been topic specific. Let's go a little random here, all right?
A little potpourri.
Yeah,
let's crush it up. Let's start this out
with a little potpourri on the phones. Obviously, yeah. The topics, in case you missed it, Aaron Rodgers, Giants quarterback situation. That has been the main theme. We've got into the Rangers a little bit. We've done a little St. John's as well. Check anything out that you might have missed on the free Odyssey app. Jim is in Carmel, New York. We're talking about the Rangers. What's up, Jim?
Hey guys. I was at that game last night. My daughter and I were there. It's the one game we went to, you know, the one game for the year, and it was absolutely just, they looked so disinterested. And I heard you guys talking about like a coaching change, what Boomer was talking about. And there's definitely a guy out there that could be a big difference. And it's Joel Quenneville. He had to step down from that scandal when he was in Florida. And Florida was heading in the right direction, and he won all those cups with Chicago, and I think that's a guy that could totally be a game changer by, you know,
Boomer actually brought this up, Jim, and thank you for the call, and sorry you had a bad experience at the Garden last night. By the way, just to clarify on Boomer, because Recco texted me, happy birthday, Jerry Recco.
He said,
to your point, I thought Boomer meant he's got to go now.
Okay.
But he wasn't 100% sure. So, Recco, we both interpreted that the same way. Boomer, I think, brought this up when we were talking Rangers last week, BT, when you were with the Johnnies, and I filled in with him, and he brought up Quenneville. The issue with him, yeah, he's a great coach, but do you want the baggage that's going to come along with him? You know, for all the stuff that I know, I'm just saying the stuff that went down. He wasn't hired yet, or hasn't been hired yet. Maybe that would be the next guy. Maybe that's something Drury's thinking about. I don't know about right now.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's more of an off-season type thing. But it's not like we haven't heard that name before. Maybe he would be the coach to get them over the hump.
That's a deeper conversation. If you're going to take that kind of PR hit from some, I don't know. You do that on a Wednesday here, and you know, implement that on a Thursday or a Friday.
That's been rumored for a while. I'm just trying to look up the latest on if there's any news on that.
What exactly was he embroiled in?
Yeah, well, that was another thing. There was some, I thought, abuse going on with one of the Hoff.
Domestic abuse?
No. Well, with the players, where the players were being.
Sexual abuse?
There was a goalie situation, very deep dive. I don't feel like getting into it right now, but I think they turned a blind eye, if I'm correct.
Not quite, obviously, paternal status. But there was some kind of where he knew about it, but either swept it under the rug, or as Hoff said, turn the blind eye. We got to get the exact details. Because it's been a couple years now, no? Was that last year or 2 years?
No, it's been a few years.
It's been a few years. But the point is, since that happened, and Chicago was, I don't want to say forced to fire him, but when all that stuff came out, they had to make that move. It was like, oh, can the Rangers get this guy because of how great a coach Quenneville has been? And now I guess as we move further from the incident and all the scandal, now it's maybe becoming more realistic. I don't even know if Dolan would entertain it or Drury. I mean, I know he was a great coach, but you'd have to really do your due diligence on that one.
You would. The only thing is that it helps to have a buffer, meaning like if he was in a place before he came here.
Yeah.
You know, like not to this extent. It's different, but Iona hired Rick Pitino, which I think enabled St. John's to hire Rick Pitino. Like if Iona doesn't take that leap of faith and a swing with Rick a couple of years ago, I'm not so sure that a bigger school and a bigger conference like St. John's and the Big East would have been the first to do it, so that nobody's hired Quinville in 3 years, is it now?
Well, here's the thing.
Is it three?
I'm reading this now. The NHL lifted its ban on Quinville last summer. This story was July of 24. The NHL lifted his ban on longtime coach Joel Quenneville and some executives that were involved, clearing the way for their return to the league more than 2 years after they were punished in the fallout from the Blackhawks sexual assault scandal.
I have to find out the depth of this scandal before I really give it an intelligent opinion.
2021, yeah, I know.
You know what I mean?
I just remember hearing about it, obviously, and knowing a little bit about the scandal.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out
NHL
exactly what happened
here. NHL fined the Blackhawks $2 million in the wake of the investigation, which was launched in response to two lawsuits filed against the franchise, one by a player identified as John Doe, alleging sexual assault by then video coach Brad Aldridge
in
2010. Okay.
Was accused by a prospect, Kyle Beach, back in 2010. Yeah, this requires a deeper dive.
Point is, there was a sexual assault scandal.
Mm-hmm.
They got fired for it. They got banned from the NHL for it. The NHL has since lifted the ban on Quenneville. Forget about the executives because we're talking about Quenneville here. So there is no ban, and obviously he has not been, he has not been hired. He's been reinstated by the league. He's not been hired since then. So he technically is available, paid his punishment,
mm-hmm.
and then it's a matter of okay, well, are you going to be willing to accept? And obviously, you got to dig in and see what went on. And if you believe that,
to deal with
well,
that.
Well, it's exactly right.
Well, and Quenneville, I guess he went on a podcast here, quote, "Had I known what I would find out that made me sick, I would have had no problem getting rid of Brad. It wouldn't have made a difference with what was going on to happen in the series. It was unacceptable. I was equally more disturbed that he used the power of the coaching staff to influence a player." So he's getting separation there. Well, yeah.
But we don't know the truth. Either way, it's an ugly thing.
Can I just throw this out? Yeah. I mean, I know he's a terrific coach. Is there anybody else that's close that we can hire that doesn't have this hanging over his head?
Well, I mean, but he's one of the best coaches in the NHL. I know what you're saying. Also, to me, it would be different if it were just a player who was accused of that. And I mean, I'm not trying to minimize it, but like Bauer, right? We had Bauer in. It was a different type of issue, but along those same lines. And the player could take accountability. He could say what went on and give that. And now you're just a player fitting in, which there's enough baggage there.
Yes.
But when you're talking about it being a leader of your organization that's had that, if you're a player, are you going to look up and respect this guy?
I think anytime you're in a power position, a position of authority, there's got to be different rules. And yeah, so you can a player can blend in because a player's not, you don't even have to do a public introductory press conference. Like if the Rangers hired Quenneville, you know, he's up there front and center, and that's all he's getting peppered with. Do you want that?
And then you wonder if players who appear to be tuning out LaViolette, are they going to be like, are they going to be on board with hiring this type of coach? Who's not like he's not a player-friendly. You know,
he's older,
he's
too.
Yeah, old school, hard-ass guy. All right, yeah. Lee is calling from Plainview about the Rangers. What's up, Lee?
What's going on, Dallas? How are you?
Hey. Good.
Two quick things. One, did you hear that the NHL might take the All-Star game away from UBS next year?
No, why?
I guess Four Nations Faceoff got so much traction that they're not committed to definitely hosting the traditional like 3-on-3 All-Star Game tournament.
So they would do another Four Nations thing?
That's what it sounds like they want to do.
I didn't hear that, but that's bullcrap. If they take that game away from the Islanders, I don't mind if the NHL says, you know what, you want to step in and stop the All-Star Game eventually.
Yeah.
But when you... Like, this thing has been planned for years out.
Once it's announced, you can't take
that away.
Yeah, they've been telling season ticket holders about the All-Star Game, too, to try to get them to renew for next year.
Yeah, no, you can't do that. It's not just to the Islanders, but to the fans as well. We're excited about hosting the All-Star Game and going to it. Even me, I was like, oh, that's cool. Like, that's a big deal. You can't promise that and plan for that years out.
Be lawsuits, guarantee.
I hope that they would be.
Guarantee class
action.
The
NHL can't do that. They could decide, hey, you know what, let's not plan any more All-Star Games. We'll figure it out with the Four Nations thing.
Yep.
You have to honor your commitments.
And then just the other thing I want to say, first off, I'm an Islander fan, so this is an outside perspective, but how does Drury not get more slack for how he's built this roster? I mean, basically, Trouba held them up in the offseason, and the biggest addition that they could do was add Riley Smith, who they've then traded at the deadline. I mean, Miller was a good pickup, but, like, has he kind of took his foot off the pedal. 2 years ago, he had a Kane, Tarasenko. What has he really done to put his imprint on this roster that's going to make it a further cup contender than it was last year?
The problem, Lee, and thank you for the call, when he made his big moves, they got locked into deals with Zibanejad and Panarin that are impossible to get out of. Somehow he found a way to move on from Trouba, and that really, BT, people think started this negative feel within the Rangers infrastructure, the way that Drury handled their captain, Jacob Trouba, basically trying to jettison him.
And then him finding out.
And that's exactly right.
Yeah, of course.
And then he ended up
moving. And by the way, that's Drury's fault. That's a miscalculation. If you're doing that, it can't happen that way.
I think Drury's cold-blooded. Almost to, like, I think it could be a strength.
Yes.
And that you shouldn't have emotion with the players and be caught into that. But when something like this gets exposed, you run that risk of losing everybody. But then if that's the case, then what's good? What good is firing Laviolette? Like, it's Drury that's the problem. Maybe not Laviolette.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's a deeper issue here. I mean, just take any job that you have. I mean, if we found out that our bosses were actively trying to get rid of us,
yeah,
and like then they didn't or whatever, like, how do you cut? You do your job because you're a pro,
right?
And you put on the best show that you can for the great audience and great listeners of WFAN. But you can't tell me. I know that the conversations you and I would be having off air,
right?
Like while we're coming back from commercials, like, man, how do you trust anybody?
Yeah, it feels like your feelings would be hurt or whatever. Maybe that's what's going on with the Rangers.
No question.
But the bottom line is, they're professionals. Suck it up. Like, you got to go out there and play. If not for your team, not only that's your job, but for yourself. Like, have some self-pride. Drury didn't like me. He tried to trade our best friend. Like, come on. Like, you're professionals. Don't you want to go out there and try to compete and win a Stanley Cup?
Of course you do. I get that on every single level. But there's also human nature that kicks in when you feel as if you are not respected or appreciated. And listen, maybe even more directly disrespected.
Yeah.
You know, like that extra effort, that extra focus that's required to win, maybe that just erodes slightly enough where here you are fighting for a final spot in the playoffs.
Nick is calling from Blue Point. What's up, Nick?
Nick.
Hey, guys. Two quick points I want to make about the coaching thing going on. Quenneville was the one that started all that stuff with the Florida Panthers and their success. He was the head coach
right
3 years ago. And then that's when the NHL told him to get out.
Right.
Also, the other point I want to make about Laviolette is that Laviolette has just as much success as any other coach in the league. So this falls on the players.
Yeah. I like Laviolette. And also, Nick, to the point we made before, he was a change, a contrast to Gallant, who I liked before him, was pretty good in his own right. But you bring in Laviolette, this was supposed to be the coach that was going to get them to the promised land.
Yeah, it's time to start moving some of these players out of here. They could start with Kreider, and they could probably start entertaining offers for Panarin if he decides to waive his no trade.
Yeah, that's the thing. And that's a sad day, Nick, and thank you for the call. But I do think that's the reality here, that you could change the coach. It's not they've already done that with this group. You know, think about it with the Knicks, BT. We talk about it with Tibbs. If they fail, like, the Knicks are still on a spot, and I believe in Tibbs, and we've projected this saying, like, all right, well, what if they lost in the first round this year? You said you would fire him. They at least still have that salvo to fire, right? They built this core group. They're taking their run. If it doesn't work and they don't like it, whether it be the end of this year, the middle of next year, the end of next year, they still have the opportunity to fire the head coach and make one more move to bring in a coach to get this core group over the top. The Rangers have already done that.
There's nothing else in the playbook here,
other than
your point, for the Rangers, where there is one for the Knicks.
Yeah. Get rid of the players.
Yeah, I mean, listen, and it's funny you bring the Knicks into it. I was going to do the same thing. Like, instead of spraining his ankle, God forbid, say if Jalen Brunson got hurt the third week of the season and he was out for the entire year. Like, just gone, done, you'll see in 2026. And there was this drop-off from where the Knicks were. If they were healthy a year ago, I think we all think they would have beaten the Pacers and then lost the next round. But they had playoff success. But, all right, we can rationalize this drop in performance, and now the Knicks are fighting for a 7th seed or a 6th seed or an 8th seed because their best player is gone. You can rationalize that. You can understand that as a basketball fan. I mean, the Rangers have been nicked up like every hockey team. It's a physical sport, but nothing that's been so detrimental that it should derail their season.
Right.
Which tells me it's something absolutely deeper. And I agree with Hoff. Listen, I know Shesterkin's amazing. You could be amazing and not have an amazing season. He has not had an amazing season.
Right.
He's had a really good season.
The
difference.
The hope would be that, because with him, on certain nights, he does look amazing again.
Crank it back up.
Yeah, in the postseason. All right, get the best version of him, then anything's possible. Ricky and Carl Plays want to talk about the Giants quarterback situation. What's up, Ricky?
Hey, good afternoon. Good afternoon, guys. How you doing today?
How are you, Ricky?
Hey, Rick.
BT, I just want to let you know, I'm a fellow Red Sox alumni here, by the way.
Very good. All right, Rick, that a boy.
Mm-hmm. All right, so the point that I wanted to make was this with the New York Football Giants. I know they have the third pick, obviously, and we all know that it's a two quarterback. The two top quarterbacks that are coming out of both Shador Sanders and Cam Ward. But if the Giants feel so desperate, and there's been a lot of talk about this going through, you know, social media and different radio talk shows, if they try to trade up from the third pick to the number one to secure Cam Ward, and if the expense of that is next year's number one, the 26th first round
mm-hmm.
pick,
mm-hmm.
I think that is an exorbitant price to pay. Okay? Because the Giants, no matter who they have a quarterback next year, whether it be a league veteran
or
the rookies, okay, they are not going to be, they're not going to have that many more wins than probably the three or four that they had this.
But hold on a sec, Rick, hold on. You're not wrong, but you can't look at it that way. It can't be what's the immediate gratification of moving up to somebody that we truly believe in organizationally as a transcendent, eventually, you know, difference maker. It's got to be more slightly bigger picture, 2, 3, 4 years, not just next year. So if they think Cam Ward's that guy and they're right, you give up whatever you have to give up to get him. That's what you have to do.
But maybe you could give up,
right.
Maybe you could give up a future first round pick, not next year necessarily, where you expect to be bad and it's going to be a valuable pick.
If you can dictate that, great, but maybe you can't dictate that. I don't know.
Well, and point is, and thank you for the call, Rick. Good stuff. If you love one of the quarterbacks, you got to figure out a way to get him.
That's it.
You got to figure out a way to trade up and get him. That's the bottom line. You can't think, well, next year we're going to be giving up an opportunity. I mean, I would do everything within my power. Maybe you give up next year's two, because next year's two could theoretically be higher, a better pick than the 2027 first round pick,
if they start getting better by then.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Or it could be equivalent to that.
Almost, you know, equivalent.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's what I mean. So you could give up next year's two, which is still a high pick,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to future ones, however you want to work it. I also would not be looking to give up next year's one, knowing that it likely is going to be a top 10 pick. Maybe not, but likely going to be a top 10 pick. I also think that might be a little too much just to move up one or two spots, no?
Well, yeah,
I don't know the exact chart.
They've got the chart. You're going to have to give up. Listen, here's the thing, though. Like, if they were to trade out of the three, which is something that I've been an advocate for here, at least to explore this and see if anybody bites. If you don't love the, if you like them but you don't love them, trade out of three. Even if you love Carter and Travis Hunter, trade out of three and have two first-round picks for next year. And then go up and be able, not just Arch Manning, which everybody says like zombies, yeah. Oh, you got to get Arch Manning. Yeah. Yeah, there's other guys too. You know, including the young man at Penn State, who I think is going to be a lot better than he played in the bowl game. So, Aller, I think there's other options. I just wonder, like, if the Giants were to whiff on Rodgers. Let's say Rodgers goes somewhere other than Pittsburgh, or he does go to Pittsburgh and Russell Wilson goes somewhere else. Would that maybe force the Giants out of pressure to do something reckless this draft and give up too much and get completely played? I think that's possible.
BT and Sal on the Fan. More calls when we come back. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal back on the Fan. We'll continue with you. Calls 888-808-1019. You know, we haven't talked much Mets, BT. We said we're going to talk about them today.
I got a question for you about your Mets here. So Beatty, to me, at second base is really interesting. I want to see where this thing is going to go. I when he came up and I first saw him hit swing, I'm like, I love his swing. And obviously followed his minor league stats. And when he's up with the Mets, he doesn't do well. When he goes back to Syracuse, he mashes. And we'll get the answer at some point this year. To me, like, you could take a third baseman, like Chris Bryan's done this, not incredibly well with Colorado because he can't hit anymore, but you could go from third base to the outfield. You could go from third base to first base. You could go from center field to a corner spot, unless you're Dominguez so far. I don't know too many, I'm not saying there's none, third basemen who have gone to second base. Are you comfortable with the defensive alignment of Alonso at first, potentially, Beatty at second, and Soto defensively in right?
No, but let me give you an expert opinion on this. We had Jose Reyes on Baseball Night in New York the other day, and we asked him that exact question. He's somebody who would know, right? He played shortstop, played second base, and we asked him that exact question. He said it's not as big of a deal anymore because of the rules now that are there to protect the fielder, meaning that runners can't come in and take out a guy at second base the way that they used to, which would help the transition from third to second. Now, we didn't get into other specifics, but I'm old school, and you know that you play third base because you can't play middle infield.
Don't have the quickness generally.
Your footwork,
and you have a great arm,
your
too.
Your footwork is not there. Yeah, maybe you have the better arm, but your foot, generally, you're playing third because your footwork is not where it needs to be.
Correct.
Being up the middle defender. Beatty wasn't a very good third baseman.
I know.
So I wouldn't think he's going to be a very good second baseman, but I would look at that, and maybe this is even the bigger picture conversation. Like, it's almost like the beginning of the season doesn't matter, and it's still kind of a tryout. Like, this to me is Beatty's final opportunity to prove that he sticks in the big leagues, or that he can stick in the big leagues, and he's going to do that by hitting. So while it bothers the purist in me not having a good defensive second baseman, you know, up the middle defense, I want to see what he can do with his bat, and that's really the only opportunity he's going to get. He's not playing third. He's not going to DH, you know, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
See what he can do at second base.
Yeah, I think that that's a good attitude. I think that's a smart way to look at it. If Pete would have gone elsewhere, say Toronto, and you bump over Vientos to first base, there's a more conventional spot for Beatty to earn his spot as a third baseman. Yeah, it's funny, too, because I saw something on Instagram from SNY with Reyes about Beatty.
Yeah.
But I wonder if I was on the couch, I would have loved to ask him a few more things. Like, I get it, the transition at second base, guys coming down, back in the day, spikes high. I mean, think about Chase Utley. I mean, think about what happened, you know, with him, and many times with him. Those days are over, so I don't think he'll get hurt. I actually think that, in a weird way.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now, and get up to 40% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You?
The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes.
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Could he be better at second than third? Because you do have more reaction time. Now, you've got more room to cover. What I think is going to be a tough play for him, because Pete's not incredibly adept at this, that foul ball down the right field line as a second baseman. You know, you got Soto coming in, you got Pete drifting back, but generally you're a second baseman that can move. You go get that baseball.
All right, well, how about optically? Do you like? Do you look at Beatty and think he projects as somebody?
I didn't. That's why I asked you. I did not.
Yeah,
Too big.
Me neither. So that's the point. It's not like guys can't play. You know, third baseman and second baseman, they can be interchangeable. You've had a lot of those guys, but Beatty is known for his bat, and I believe the reason why he plays third is because he wasn't a good enough fielder. So you're trying to hide him to a certain extent in the infield. Now you're putting him in the middle, up the middle with Lindor. Yeah, and to a pitching staff, BT, that is not going to be blowing guys away and striking them out. Like, the Mets need to be good defensively. Look, if you ask my opinion, do I think it's going to work? I don't. I don't think it's going to work. I don't think Brett Beatty's going to be the long-term solution for the Mets at second base. I think best-case scenario, you showcase him, you get some good offense out of him, maybe you eventually move him for something of value, you make the pieces fit a little bit better. That would be the best case for everybody. Or, I mean, he just rakes completely, and you're like, yeah, we feel good about him being a DH at times, or, you know, spelling Vientos in third and having Vientos at DH. Like, maybe use him a little bit there. I can't imagine Beatty's going to be a good defensive second baseman, which is only, to your point, heightened with Pete Alonso at first base. You can't have that right side of the infield permanently.
Yeah, for sure. And think about, you know, as a million years ago, but think about the contrast when Wally played second versus Tim Tuffle.
Right.
Tim Tuffle was not a real bouncy athlete. He was probably more like Brett Beatty. Now, it's funny, I just popped something up, and I needed to get an answer on this, and I got the answer I was kind of hoping I wouldn't get. That would give me maybe a little more hope for him to stick at second base. But remember when we talked about Gallo as a pitcher?
Yeah.
And I went to the Perfect Game database, and he was a pitcher throwing 95. I'm on Brett Beatty's Perfect Game profile. And because a lot of third basemen, they're shortstops when they're young, but then they just can't quite cut it short. They move to the other spots on the diamond. No, he was the, I'm looking at it right now, 2019 grad, third base, first base, outfield.
Yeah, what does that tell you?
He was the number one in the state of Texas as a third baseman, number nine overall player in the country as a third baseman. So when you're playing third base when you're 16, 17, 18, you definitely don't have the bounce to play shortstop, let alone. But second's a little different, to be fair. I wanted to see if he played a little shortstop when he was young.
I know.
Because if he did, I'm saying, well, maybe he can transition more than I think he can at second.
That validates my thinking, is that he's just never been a strong defensive guy, which would say that usually your better defensive players are going to play up the middle at some
point.
For
sure, especially when you're young.
That's exactly right.
Like you at second base.
That's right. Hey, I know. One thing I know about is I was a fielder. I played short. I told you I started shortstop on my JV team.
Okay. No, I think he was straight second. You started shortstop. No, what happened?
Ninth grade is JV, right?
Ninth grade is freshman.
Wait.
I mean, if you're
so freshman.
No, no, if you're a ninth grader and you're good, you can obviously play JV.
That wasn't it. JV is 10th grade. So that team I got cut from, I didn't make that team trying to make it as a second baseman.
Okay.
What happened was the kid who was the best shortstop of our class, he moved up to play JV.
Okay.
Mike Lorenzo. I was friends with him. Great player. I actually played in Manhattan. He was a good ball player.
Oh, yeah. Nice match. Ball player. I'm sure he was good.
So he was the starting shortstop of our age group. Yeah. He got called up to play. Our group was weird, though. 7, 8, 9.
We did it so differently. So, to me, high school is 9, 10, 11, 12.
Right. So our junior high was 7, 8, 9.
Yeah.
But technically, like, ninth grade is, I guess, freshman year.
Ninth grade's a freshman,
okay,
for sure.
Right. But so on that team, when I was in ninth grade, Lorenzo got called up to play with the JV team.
Got it.
So the shortstop opened up, and I started.
Sally slid over a little short.
Starting shortstop.
Give me
on
the scout report. Give me a little profile here.
All glove. High baseball IQ, no bat.
Did you chirp? Were you a talker?
No, I was a fiery competitor, but no, not a chirper.
Could you bunt?
I don't recall.
I don't recall everything about my, especially my deficiencies. Could you run? Like, you get on base, but sadly
not
stealing?
Not a good runner, no.
Okay, so Sally really wasn't bringing a whole lot there.
I told you, old glove.
But if you're playing shortstop, you got to be a decent athlete. It's not like you're playing right field. They stick you out there. Shortstop, you know.
High baseball IQ, good defensive, old glove. I had a good arm.
Okay, good arm. Okay. That's all it. Right, That's I got
it.
You.
It stops there. It was all.
No, listen. But it's not like.
No, yeah. My biggest thing is I had no confidence, which drives me nuts. But now I can identify that in players. Even you get to the big league level and you see there are certain levels of confidence. Like Brett Beatty was going through confidence issues.
Yes.
And I wonder now, learning a new position, is he going to feel comfortable enough to be confident enough to really take the job? Like, that's a huge factor. He's obviously got some skill set that got him to this point.
No question.
So he's a highly touted prospect.
Yep.
I think he's still doubting if he belongs or not in the big league.
He does, and he should, because he's yet to prove that he does. You know, the funny thing, we're talking about third base, shortstop, that he plays shortstop, that he's second. I almost think he'd be better in left field at moving forward. Right. As a, like if he
I'd
really
feel
hits,
more comfortable about that. Yeah.
If he could hit. Now,
you see Altuve and Altuve with
he's
the
had a rough time.
I know.
He's had a rough time out
he's
there.
He's transitioning to left field, butchering balls.
I've seen it.
I don't understand where we got in baseball. Like we've evolved to a point where we get these athletes who are their body, the diet is as good as it's ever been. They work out more than they've ever been. They can't get healthy and they can't play positions anymore normally. Like, why can't you just find a guy who, I don't know, can play left field instead of moving a guy from second base to left field, or a guy to play, you know, find a third baseman or a second baseman, not jam these guys in.
Yeah, there's a lot of, you know, there's either not enough versatility or there's too much. Like McNeil, I don't want to say McNeil's too much, but he could play left, he could play third, he could play second.
He's actually
pretty good.
He's good.
He can play right.
Yeah.
Not anymore, he won't. But so to me, what is the difference? Because I think there's a parallel here. As Brett Beatty learns to hit, if he does, but tries to learn how to hit at the major league level, playing a new defensive position, what's different from what Jason Dominguez is trying to do? Learn how to hit at the professional level while playing a position he really doesn't play.
Yeah, it drives me nuts.
There's not much of a difference.
I mean, maybe the difference is you know, Beatty, at least you could accept it because he's being asked to move to a different position to see if his bat will play.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like one spot on an otherwise pretty solid structure. Dominguez was brought up to be the Martian and some superstar stud.
But as a center fielder.
Yeah, okay, but BT, you know, like, it is different for me from, like, if you go from center field, if Beatty went from shortstop to second base, I wouldn't even be worried. Like
Reyes did with Kaz Matsui and others.
Whatever.
Yep.
Like, you wouldn't even be worried about that. You could easily go from short to anywhere else on
not
the diamond.
Not a big deal.
But so you should be able to go from center to anywhere else in the outfield with ease. And Dominguez looks like he's dropping pop-ups that...
Not lately, not as much. But by the way, I'm with you in this regard. I think it's easier to go from center to left than it is from third to second.
Or from
for
even,
sure.
Even if it were from left to center, like Nimmo, you'd be like, I don't
as
know
As long as you
this.
Can run. If you can't run, then center field's going to eat you up.
Call of the day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Today's call of the day brought to you by Volvo Cars Ramsey. Finding the Volvo you want is easy at Volvo Cars Ramsey and by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating expert. Corey is in Massapequa Park. What's up, Corey?
I just wanted to round out the previous conversation about the ayahuasca versus darkness retreat. So I don't have experience with ayahuasca. I do sensory deprivation tanks. So it's something that I do like probably five or six times a year. You're in a room, in water, you're floating, no sight, no sound, really no feeling. I'll tell you what, it's awesome.
Are you by yourself?
You're like, you're totally naked. You're in like a pool. It's 6 inches of water, but it's 1,000 pounds of salt.
Oh, yeah. So yeah.
Why do you got to be totally naked? You couldn't have like boxers on or something?
No, you don't have to. I'm a full experience, you know, but so you're floating, but then you kind of break through and you get into this very, very tranquil state that I oddly like crave, you know? So I used to do it for 60 minutes. And I started doing it for 90 minutes now. And like when the time comes up and the lights turn on, I'm kind of pissed that it's over. So it's really hard to explain.
Yeah.
But I see the appeal in, now 3 days is a lot. I'm not going to front and say that sounds light, but there is an appeal to that to me seems interesting. They say if you're on a trip and you have a path to go positive or negative, I guess the shamans recommend to go negative.
Well, there you go. We had a little bit of everything so far on the show today on this Wednesday. Check it out on the Free Odyssey app in case you missed anything. Roger's been the main topic of conversation.
Real fast. I mean, listen, I think if you just kind of go through social media too often, I think it's going to depress you. Like, if you just kind of flip and flip and flip and flip and you're just looking for stuff, you're going to just see story after story that is really distressing. I think most of us know that by now. But I came across something unintentionally. I was looking for something else. I don't understand how, I don't know what's wrong with some people. There's a college baseball player down in Florida.
Yeah.
6'4", 245 pounds, okay? I guess there was an altercation at a bar that he was at. He stepped up and he knocked out an 84-year-old man. What in the world is wrong with people?
Yeah, 84? Like, why would the 84-year-old be going to say something to him?
Last call. No. But I mean, come on, there's no not understanding how old and fragile and vulnerable an 84-year-old is. Right. I mean, like, you're 84, you're 84.
It's like Pedro Zimmer.
It's very similar, you know? That might be almost the exact same.
Is that kid's career going to
be ruined? Already kicked off the team. They scrubbed him from the website for the team that he was on. I'm not even going to say his name or the school, but he's got 6'4", 280, pardon me, 245, lays out an 84-year-old man. Just disgusting.
Just stupid. All right, one other thing I saw on social media before we finish up on the phones, it pertains to what we were talking about the Rangers before. So Vince Mercagliano, who does a great job covering the Rangers, Lohud, USA Today Sports, all over the place with the Rangers, just some stuff in SNY TV as well. I don't know if I want to read the whole thing, but you need the context here. So it's about what we were talking about with Laviolette and how this team plays. And Vince goes on to say, we've talked repeatedly about this team's tendency to play an east-west finesse game that fizzles in tight checking environments, right? No greater example than last year's postseason series against the Panthers.
That's why Rempe was supposed to be so important.
Right.
One of the reasons.
Laviolette and previous coaches, again, this is Vince Mercagliano, have urged them to play a more direct style. And while they do it in spurts, it's always fleeting. They eventually fall into traps like they did last night, where they get lazy, disengage physically, and make sloppy turnovers, which is why they rank one of the NHL's worst teams defending against the rush. Mercagliano asked Laviolette if that's just part of this core's DNA and can rear its head at any moment. Mercagliano's words here. Laviolette pondered it for a second before resigning himself to admit, yeah, it is.
They're soft, as we say. I got a soft team.
And then he goes on to say, Laviolette, if you have a crystal ball and you knew in advance, you certainly would hit that even harder, but you address it as it's going through the game, try to address it on the bench in between periods. It just never really changed.
Wow. I mean, that is a finesse team right there.
Great job by Vince getting that. Yeah. Going, huh?
Even if you're not watching the Rangers every single night, like that really illuminates where they are and where they need to be. Who they're not. I don't know how you change that. That's like asking, you know, a finesse basketball team to suddenly start playing, you know, lights out, knockdown defense and sealing out on the boards. I mean, you kind of are who you are.
That's the point. So this core group, this was the question mark with Gallant as the head coach.
Mm-hmm.
Laviolette, more in your face, get on their rear end type guy. Even he can't fix it. It's not, they'll end up firing him, I'm sure, after the year and go through the coaching change. That's not it. It's Panarin in the playoffs. It's all of them. Kreider's a bit. All of them. It's not just one individual. They're soft. That's the problem. And to win in the postseason, you could have the highest skill. It's probably the most skilled Rangers team that I've seen in my lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
94 was the best team I've seen, but they weren't the highest skilled team. Like, this team's got elite level skill, starting with the goaltender and obviously with their elite level forwards, the scoring. It's not what it takes to win a Stanley Cup. And I don't know how they get out of it because a lot of these guys have no trade clauses or just contracts that can't be moved.
And now you have to wonder, we talk about this with Judge and we talk about this some of the older players. How much of Shesterkin's prime are they going to waste?
I mean, you would think that he's still got a ton
left. No, he does. But with the contracts, what I'm saying is you can't get out of it overnight.
Either way, I love that. That's a great job by Vince Mercagliano, summing everything up. Carl in Marlboro wants to talk about the Rangers. What's up, Carl?
How you doing, guys?
Good.
Love the show. Listen to you guys every day. I'm a long-time suffering Ranger fan. I have season tickets for 25 years. I sit in 226. I just want to ask you guys a question. Do you think Laviolette's job is safe and Drury's job is safe? And the reason why this team is so bad, like you guys have been saying, their core is soft. Panarin, Zibby, Kreider, they ran their course. They all need to go. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, no, thank you, Carl. And that's the point. I do think that both. I don't think Drury's getting fired. I don't know. I'm just using some common sense and like trying to get feelers based off of the reports that are out there. I don't think Drury's going anywhere, but I think when you have a season this disappointing, especially if it ends up with them on the outside looking in, I don't think anybody's safe, nor should they be.
No, you got to gut it.
You got to gut it. You were ahead of this. I don't know if you used the word soft last year, but you were definitely onto this during the playoffs.
Yeah, we were saying this last year. We talked about it. It's the core because this has been a common theme for years with this same group, not just last year. Owen is in Providence, Rhode Island. What does he want to talk about? What's up, Owen?
Hey, guys. How's it going? Thanks for having me. Hopefully you can hear me all right.
We got you. Yeah. What's going on, bud?
BT, heading to Providence. I rooted for High Point tomorrow. I work there, live in Connecticut, but I'm going to head to St. John's practice here at 4:15. Just a few quick things about the regional. I haven't seen this caliber of coaches at a regional in a long time with South Calipari and Patino.
Yeah.
I'm going to be amazing to see them in practice this afternoon. Well, a few points on St. John's, why I think they can make a run. Number one team in the country defensively via KenPom. I'm taking the over of 1.5 5 to the second violations for Omaha tomorrow night. They're going to cause havoc.
Yeah.
One of the problems with St. John's, I think they can make a run. One of my issues with them is offensively. You know, they've been really inconsistent, but if you can limit RJ for his last name, let Starry Richmond beat you, I think teams can figure them out. But I'm excited to be in Providence. Hopefully see a lot of St. John's fans tomorrow night. Thanks for taking my call.
Well, I'll see you in a couple hours. I'm heading up there right after the show. Yeah, I mean, it's fun. Listen, St. John's obviously has an offensive or two deficiency. We've talked about that, the free throws. I do think the three-point shooting's gotten better. I've said that as well, and the stats bear that out. But we look at it, and this applies to all the teams that we cover, and we were doing this with the Yankees yesterday. I was kind of fixating on things that worry me about the Yankees. And I think some St. John's fans, although they're certainly enjoying this ride, maybe are a little concerned about the deficiencies for St. John's. But you got to look at it the other way, too. Like, the teams in the Big East know how Kadari wants to get to the rim and how RJ wants to play and what Zubi can do. These other teams, now, they could see it on tape, but until you feel that 6'6", 230-pound, you know, muscle coming at you downhill in Kadari, good luck stopping it. And I think that, you know, what St. John's doesn't do well is offset by what they do well, but there's a randomness to this, and to predict it is nuts. Enjoy the first game and worry about Saturday when they get there.
And we will talk a lot more about St. John's tomorrow, preview the game a little bit. You'll be up there, obviously, as you mentioned, leaving after the show. So the next two shows, I'll be in the studio by myself. You'll be up in Providence, win or lose for Thursday and Friday.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I'm going to hop on with Evan and Tiki tomorrow, a couple hours before the game, right around 6.
Getting to the arena before?
No, I did that for the hotel.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. I can get there 3-4 hours early.
Well,
I didn't know if you were going to hit for the show.
You had said you may want to go watch that game early. I wasn't
100%
sure. I'll
watch the second half. You know, I'll watch the first half for the hotel. And it's going to be a blast. Hopefully, I see a lot of St. John's fans up there. I know I will. Have fun down here. It's almost baseball season. Yeah. And it's a fun time of the year. Looking forward to it.
Safe travels.
Thank you, bud.
Enjoy it. We'll talk to you down the line tomorrow morning. All right, thank you, Dove. We appreciate the help as always. Thanks to Hoff as well. Oh, we didn't get the Hoff tweet about the Rangers, which I just didn't get.
Say?
Maybe tomorrow. He tweeted out something that made no sense. I forgot. Hoff, you got to remind me. We'll get to that tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm sure he's right on it to make himself look bad.
Yeah, we'll build in a segment each day. Let's rip Hoff now for 3 minutes. All right, but thanks to Hoff. Great work, as always. We appreciate it. Thanks to everybody who listened and called as well. We appreciate each and every one of you. Back again tomorrow, 10 a.m. Evan and Tiki, they're coming up next.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, non-stop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.